بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. Continuing with the topic of نصيحة. Insha'Allah, today I'll share a few thoughts about giving unsolicited nasiha, i.e. advising others without being asked to do so, which falls into the category of advising others what to do, what not to do, as to what's best, commanding others to virtue, preaching piety to others. Al-amru bil-ma'roof wal-nahyu 'anil munkar, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, forbidding wrongdoing. Da'wah, all of these things fall into this category of unsolicited nasiha. I've already explained in detail that nasiha originally refers to sincerity, genuineness, wishing well, harbouring another person's best interests and welfare, and having them at heart. And the word nasiha as we know it, i.e. giving advice, giving good counsel, this is merely a part of the overall concept of nasiha. And it's when we give advice, it should be a distillation and a pure extraction of wishing well, of genuineness, of sincerity, of wanting the best for the other person. And as I've explained, nasiha can be of two kinds. Either we are approached by friends, family members, others who confide in us, and we are consulted for advice. Our advice, our nasiha, is actually solicited. And I've already discussed that. Today I'll speak about nasiha without being approached. Again, it's something I've already addressed, but as I said, there are certain things about giving unsolicited advice to others which overlap with da'wah, giving da'wah. And most importantly, al-amru bil-ma'roof wal-nahyu 'anil munkar, commanding that which is commendable, preventing that which is disreputable, and preaching virtue and piety to others. Indeed, the Quran tells us that we are a nation that has been chosen to invite others. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That you are the best nation that has been chosen or selected or extracted for the people. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You enjoin the good, you forbid the wrong, And there are other verses of the Qur'an which tell us something similar. We learn from the ahadith. And giving nasiha, preaching virtue and piety to others, telling others what's right, what's wrong, encouraging the good, discouraging the wrong. All of these concepts are well known to every Muslim. However, alongside the Qur'an and the Hadith teaching us all of these things, we are also reminded, we are also told of the timings, the circumstances, the conditions, the prerequisites, the correct manner and method and approach to be adopted when giving da'wah and nasiha and when doing al-amru bil-ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. The Qur'an and the Hadith, and nor the example of the Prophets of Allah alayhim salam, the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, teaches to be absolute in giving da'wah, nasiha, and encouraging the good and discouraging the wrong. The Qur'an, we are not told to be absolute and unqualified, that this obligation or this teaching of giving da'wah and giving nasiha to others overrides everything else, all other considerations. No, we learn from the example of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself and his teachings, and the example of the noble Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, that there are ways, there are methods, there are times, there are circumstances, there are approaches, and all of this has to be taken into consideration. And a lot can be said about this. And inshallah, I will share as much as I can. The best example of da'wah, of nasiha, of giving advice, of imparting good counsel, of inviting others to good, of encouraging the ma'roof, that which is reputable and good, and discouraging and preventing al-munkar, that which is disreputable and which is wrong. The best example of all of this is to be found in the lives of the prophets and the messengers of Allah alayhim as-salam. Primarily the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also in the examples given in the Holy Quran of the former messengers and prophets. Allah cites the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. The Prophet Nuh alayhi salam addressed his people with the words, أُبَلِّغُكُمْ رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي وَأَنْصَحُ لَكُمْ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I convey to you the messages of my Lord. وَأَنْصَحُ لَكُمْ. And I am sincere to you. That same concept of sincerity, of wishing well, of wanting the best for his nation. And as a result of advising them of what leads to such goodness and welfare and their best interests. So whichever way you translate it, وَأَنْصَحُ لَكُمْ, and I am sincere to you, I wish the best for you, I wish well for you, I advise you, وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and I know that from Allah which you do not know. He was the Prophet of Allah, and he knew what he was saying. He knew things that his people were not aware of. because he was a carrier of revelation. All of this was communicated to him from Allah. And he was conveying the words and the messages of Allah, as he said in the beginning of the verse. But one thing which I will return to here is his words were, "A'lamu min Allahi ma la ta'lamun," and I know that which you do not know. Allah gives the example of Prophet Hud alayhi salam, who was sent to the people of Ad, wa ila Adin akhahum Huda, and to the people of Ad, we sent one of them, Hud. And one of the things which he said to his people is similarly, ubalighukum risalati Rabbi wa ana lakum nasihun amin. I convey to you the messages of my Lord, وَأَنَا لَكُمْ نَاصِحٌ أَمِينٌ, and I am a trustworthy, sincere well-wisher for you. Again, ناصح, I seek the best for you, I wish well for you, I am sincere towards you. And whereas in the other verse, Nuh alayhi salam said, I know that from Allah which you do not know, here, Hud alayhi salam said, and I am a trustworthy well-wisher for you. You can trust me. And these words were true for all of the prophets of Allah, not just the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam or the Prophet Hud alayhi salam. All of them wished the best, wanted the best. All of them were sincere, compassionate, concerned, considerate. All of them knew that from Allah which their respective nations and peoples did not know. And all of them were trustworthy in their message. They were trustworthy in their claim of being sincere and of being true well-wishers. The same with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah describes him in the Noble Quran. الذين يتبعون الرسول النبي الأمي الذي يجدونه مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث ويضع عنهم إصرهم والأغلال التي كانت عليهم. Those who follow the unlettered messenger and prophet, whom they find mentioned in the Torah and in the Injil. What does he do? يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. He instructs them to good, and he prevents them from wrong. وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, and he makes lawful for them the pure and good things. وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ, and he makes unlawful for them the impure things. وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ, and he removes from them their burden. وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ, and the shackles and fetters that bound them. So, in this one verse alone, Allah tells us a lot about the da'wah and the nasiha and the al-amru bil ma'roof wa nahyu anil munkar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His call, his invitation, his advice, his good counsel, his making things lawful and unlawful, instructing good and forbidding wrong. But later in the verse, Allah tells us, وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ, and he removes from them their burden, and he unfetters them, unshackles them. He unchains them. That's, again, something we need to consider. That the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his commanding good and forbidding wrong, his making things lawful, unlawful, his encouragement and discouragement, his persuasion and his dissuasion, His da'wah, his call, his invitation, his good counsel and advice, all of these things led to people's freedom, liberation, to their ease, to their comfort, to their well-being, to the removal of their burdens, of their shackles, of their fetters, of their chains. This is something which, again, I will return to. So these are just some of the examples of the da'wah of the messengers of Allah alayhi wa sallam. In another verse about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. Earlier, Allah quotes the hypocrites. وَمِنْهُمُ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ النَّبِيَّ وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ أُذُنٌ قُلْ أُذُنُ خَيْرٍ لَكُمْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَيُؤْمِنُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. Allah says, and there are of those, i.e. the hypocrites, who hurt the Prophet. And they say of him, huwa udhun, he is soft of ear, i.e. he is credulous, he is naive, he believes everything. So they would come to him, plead their excuses, lie to him. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would humour them, wouldn't press the issue with them. And he would leave them. And they would think that we have got away. And they would then go away commenting on how, in their words and in their view, how simple, how credulous, how naive and how believing and trusting he was, that he would accept anything that was said to him. So Allah clarifies that. قُلْ أُذُنُ خَيْرٍ لَكُمْ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is tolerant and accepting and forgiving and overlooking. And he is trusting. Not because he is naive or unaware or any of the other negative and lowly things that you may think of him. Rather, he does this out of the goodness of his soul and character. He does this because he seeks the best for all of you. قُلْ أُذُنُ خَيْرٍ لَكُمْ. He wants the best for you. And this is why Allah continues in the verse, يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ, he believes in Allah, وَيُؤْمِنُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and he trusts the believers. وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ, and he is a mercy for those amongst you who have believed. This was the, again, this was part of his da'wah and nasiha. He always wanted the best. This was his nusr, his sincerity and his genuineness. And in a similar vein, Allah mentions, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Verily, a messenger has come to you from yourselves. That which you suffer weighs down heavily on him. It is difficult and burdensome for him. Your suffering is difficult and burdensome for him. Your suffering weighs down heavily on him. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. He is desirous of your welfare and your good. That same nasiha. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. He is most compassionate and most merciful with the believers. All of these sentiments of sincerity, of genuineness, of compassion, of mercy, of wanting the best, of wishing well, of being desirous of the ummah's welfare, their betterment and well-being, All of these things played a part in the da'wah and in the nasiha of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Furthermore, Allah says in Surah Al-Ahzab, "An-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum." The Prophet is closer and dearer and more deserving of the believers to the believers than their own souls, than themselves. And his wives are their mothers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a way like a father to the whole ummah. And truly, he was closer, and he is closer, and he is more deserving to the believers than their own souls. Again, this is something which played a major part in the advice and in the nasiha and in the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his instructions to good and prohibitions from wrong. So the best example of da'wah, of nasiha, of enjoining the good, forbidding the wrong, is that of the Prophets of Allah alayhi wasalam. And there is something in all of these points mentioned in the verses of the Holy Quran that we can learn when it comes to giving da'wah and nasiha ourselves. So let's look at them. First and foremost, even before ensuring that we are sincere in giving da'wah, we need to ask ourselves whether we are qualified. Are we qualified to give nasiha, to give da'wah? Are we in that position to tell others what's right, what's wrong, to tell others what to do, what not to do? The Prophets of Allah alayhi wasalam, their sincerity was unquestionable. Their concern and compassion for their respective peoples was unparalleled, unrivaled. In all of these words about the Prophets of Allah alayhi wasalam, we need to ask ourselves, can we follow in their footsteps? So the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam said, وَأَنْصَحُ لَكُمْ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I advise you, I seek the best for you, I wish well for you, and I know that from Allah which you do not know. We need to ask ourselves, am I qualified? Do I have that knowledge? Do I have that understanding? Do I have that level of sincerity? That true passion and concern? We may think we do, but it's very easy to fall into that trap of believing and actually being deceived by shaitan and our ego, our lower self, our nafs, that we are genuine, we are sincere in our motives. We do wish the best for the other person, and that's why we are telling them what to do, what not to do. We are advising them. In fact, psychologists, in psychology, in psychiatry, sometimes the word advice is often put between apostrophes, in the sense and in the context that That person is advising you. What do they mean when they say that person is advising you? A lot of the time, verbal abuse and emotional abuse is committed on the pretext of advice. And the purpose isn't advice. The goal is not to make the other person better. Rather, is to rubbish them and put them down, to make them feel bad. So, a person is told about their flaws, their weaknesses, their defects. They are reminded of their problems. But the goal isn't to advise them sincerely, genuinely, with compassion, with concern, with love, having their welfare and their best interests at heart. No. Rather, this is a session of bashing, to verbally and emotionally bash them and abuse them under the pretext of giving advice. So the word is, advice is often placed between apostrophes, that the other person is advising you. They're not advising you. They are beating you up verbally and emotionally. They are abusing you. They are putting you down. And this is part of their twisted game. Their abuse. And they will sprinkle words of sugarcoating, such as, I'm only telling you for your own good. I'm only advising you. I'm only looking out for you. I'm only telling you what's best for you. So, before we give nasiha to others, we have to ask ourselves a number of questions. And one of them is this. Am I genuinely concerned for the other person? Am I qualified? And to be qualified, you have to have that nasiha. To give nasiha, to be qualified to give nasiha, you have to have nasiha in you. And what is that nasiha? To give nasiha, i.e. advice, you have to have nasiha, i.e. genuineness, sincerity, true compassion, true concern, the other person's welfare and best interests at heart, and true well-wishing for the other. To give nasiha, advice, you have to have the wider concept of nasiha, i.e. all of these meanings and more in yourself. So we may think we are genuinely compassionate and concerned, and we have the other person's best interests and welfare at heart, but it's very easy for the nafs, for shaitan, for our lower self, our ego, to deceive us. And this is why abusers, verbal and emotional and mental abusers, this is how they convince themselves and others. Because the ego, that's a game it plays. It makes a person think, I'm telling them for their own good. And so it's very easy to believe that I am doing something good when the achieved effect is the total opposite. How easy is it for a person to be misled? Look at the family of the Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam. The Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam was a prophet of Allah, the father of another prophet, Yusuf alayhi salam, the son of another prophet, Ishaq alayhi salam, the grandson of another prophet, Ibrahim alayhi salam. And this was noble lineage. The Sahaba radiyallahu anhum asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man akramun nas, who is the most noble, the most dignified of all people? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Kareem ibn al-Kareem ibn al-Kareem ibn al-Kareem. The noblest of all people is the noble, son of the noble, son of the noble, son of the noble, i.e. the Prophet Yusuf, son of the Prophet Ya'qub, son of the Prophet Ishaq, son of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi wasalam. What a noble lineage, what a noble household. And we immediately assume that a pious person's household will have an atmosphere and a climate of piety. So what could be said of the household of a Prophet of Allah, alayhi wasalam? Imagine the climate and the environment and the atmosphere within the home of the Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam, whose own son was destined to be a great Prophet of Allah, Yusuf alayhi salam, whose own father was a Prophet of Allah, Ishaq alayhi salam, whose own grandfather was a great Prophet of Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Imagine the atmosphere and the climate within the household of such a noble family. And yet, the blood brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, the sons of Ya'qub alayhi salam, the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren of the Prophets of Allah, they were children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the Prophets of Allah. Even they believed, or they said and claimed, that they had the best interests and the welfare of Yusuf, their brother, at heart. They wished well for him, they were sincere towards him, they were genuinely concerned and compassionate about him. And thus Allah quotes them. They said to their father Ya'qub alayhi salam, مَالَكَ لَا تَأْمَنَّا عَلَىٰ يُوسُفْ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ O Father, what is it with you that you do not trust us with Yusuf? وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ And indeed we are his well-wishers. We truly wish the best for him. And they said it emphatically. وَإِنَّا And surely لَهُ لَا مُتَّأْكِيد Verily, most assuredly, verily we are most assuredly nasihun, his well-wishers. They said that emphatically to their father. Eventually, at some stage, their father did let Yusuf alayhi salam go with them. And what did they do? They were envious. They plotted and schemed against him. They wanted to be rid of him for good. So imagine if it was so easy for the children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren of the Prophets of Allah alayhi wasalam, and for the brothers of a Prophet of Allah to believe wrongly or to claim wrongly that they were well-wishers and sincere in their concern and compassion for their own brother, then imagine how easy it is for us to slip into this delusion and this false thinking and this false belief of being genuinely nasih, sincere, well-wishing, genuine and true to others. We have to check our sincerity, our genuineness, our nusr, our concern, our compassion repeatedly. Do I have that level of compassion and concern described about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Azizun alayhima anittum, harisun alaykum, bil mu'mineen ra'ufur raheem. That Your suffering weighs heavily on him. He is desirous of your welfare. And he is most compassionate and most merciful with the believers. Do we have even a fraction of that? Can we be trusted in our nasiha, in our nusr, our genuineness and our sincerity and concern for others, as the Prophet Hud alayhi salam said, echoing the sentiments of all of the Prophets of Allah, wa ana lakum nasihun amin, that I convey to you the messages of my Lord, and I am a trustworthy, I am a trusted well-wisher for you. Do we have that in us? So this is one of the first things we need to consider. Am I qualified? And part of that qualification is that you need to be genuinely concerned about the other person. Genuinely. Not what your nafs and your ego misleads you into believing. And, of course, it goes without saying that in all of this, I address myself first. Am I qualified? And part of that qualification is that I have to truly love this person and genuinely want the best for them. Just as we learnt from those ahadith that when someone sees a dream, as Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal relates from the companion Abu Razin radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that when a person sees a dream, because that dream is subject to interpretation, it's open to interpretation, one shouldn't relate that dream, which is a thing of confidence and a matter of trust, one shouldn't relate that dream to anyone except Habib or Labib, a beloved or a very intelligent person. And in another narration of the same hadith, what's the wording? Illa ala wadin aw dhi ra'i, that he should not relate it to anyone except one who loves him. Wad aw dhi ra'i, or a person of sound opinion. And in the same hadith related by Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah, from Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he should not relate this dream except to alim aw nasih, except to one who is a scholar, or nasih, a genuine well-wisher. Just as the Prophet of Allah alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam said, وَعَلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, I know that from Allah which ye do not know. And as Hud alayhi salam said, وَأَنَا لَكُمْ نَاصِحٌ أَمِينٌ, same word, nasih, and I am a trusted well-wisher for you. So can we trust ourselves to be genuine well-wishers for the other person? To be have that level of love for that person? To be able to advise them, tell them what to do, what not to do, sincerely? So this is something we need to check and review in ourselves before giving nasiha, before giving advice, and before giving da'wah, before telling others what to do, what not to do, what's wrong and good and what's right and what's not. It's very easy to slip into that false belief. In the Quran, time and time again, Allah corrects such deception and delusion. Speaking of the hypocrites, Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. And when it is said to them, do not spread mischief in the land, they say, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ, we are but reformers, we are only doers of good. So they claim to do good. They claim to make things better. They claim to be reformers. And yet Allah testifies immediately thereafter, أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ وَلَاكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ لَوْ Indeed, they, verily, they are the corruptors. They are the spreaders of strife, discord and corruption. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ And they don't even realize. Speaking of the hypocrites again, in the context of Masjid al-Dirar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they have erected a masjid, which Allah himself calls a masjid of harm. Or a masjid erected with the view to harm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَيَحْلِفُنَّ إِنْ أَرَدْنَا إِلَّا الْحُسْنَى وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ And they will most assuredly swear an oath that إِنْ أَرَدْنَا إِلَّا الْحُسْنَى By Allah, we only sought to do good. We only intended to do good. By Allah, we did not intend anything except good. And Allah immediately says thereafter, وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ Allah testifies that indeed they are liars, surely liars. So, time and time again, the Qur'an tells us of those, not just the hypocrites, but others too, who wrongly claimed that they were doing good, they were well-wishers, they wanted the best for others, they were only trying to do good, but the effect was, the end result was the total opposite. Carnage, mayhem, corruption, destruction, strife, discord. So we need to ask ourselves, before opening our mouths to give nasiha to anyone, to give da'wah, to give advice, to preach piety and virtue to others, to point out the right and the wrong, to enjoin the good and prevent the wrong, before doing any of this, we really need to question ourselves and ask, am I qualified? Do I have that level of sincerity? Do I have that level of compassion and concern? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Imam Bukhari and others relate this from Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. That one of you does not believe until he desires, until he loves for his brother that which he loves for himself. That's the level of desiring the best for the other person. As much as one desires good for oneself. So we should question our own level of sincerity and genuineness and concern and compassion for the other. Do we truly wish the best for them? One thing. Secondly, are we qualified in terms of knowledge? Do we have that knowledge, that wisdom, that understanding? Allahu Akbar. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith of Tirmidhi related from Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, that do not relate the dream except to an alim or a nasih. Do not relate your dream which is subject to and open to interpretation except to a scholar or a true well-wisher. And in the hadith of Abu Razin, except to one who loves, i.e. loves you, and who is of sound opinion, Or a Habib, someone that you love and trust. Or a Labib, someone who is wise and intelligent. These are the qualities that are required in giving nasiha, in giving da'wah. Otherwise it could be very counterproductive and possibly sinful. This doesn't mean that no one should give da'wah, no one should give nasiha. That's not the message here. The message is, yes, we have been told to give da'wah, we have been told to give nasiha. But at the same time, we have been told how and when and where and to whom and by whom. Everything has its time, its place, its context. Just as in that famous hadith of Abu Tha'labah al-Khushani radiyallahu anhu. Someone approached him, it's a hadith related by Ibn Majah in his Sunan, by Abu Dawood and others. That someone approached by Ibn Majah in his Sunan and also by others, that someone approached him and said, what do we do with this verse? Where Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum la yadurrukum man dalla idha ihtadaytum. That, O believers, be concerned with yourselves. لا يضركم من ضل إذا اهتديتم. As long as you have found guidance, then those who have lost the way, those who are wayward, cannot harm you. So, of course, this verse immediately throws up a question. Well, how does this verse fit with the other commandments and instructions of giving da'wah, giving nasiha, and most importantly of enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong? Here the verse says, concern yourselves with yourselves. لا يضركم من ضل إذا اهتديتم. As long as you have found guidance, then those who are wayward cannot harm you. So someone approached the noble companion, Abu Tha'labah al-Khushani radiyallahu anhu, with this question. So he said, you've asked the right person because I questioned the Prophet of Allah about this. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's words to me were, بَلِئْتَمِرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهُوا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ حَتَّى إِذَا رَأَيْتَ شُحًّا مُطَاعًا وَهَوًا مُتَّبَعًا وَدُنْيَا مُؤْثَرَةً وَإِعْجَابَ كُلِّ ذِي رَأْيٍ بِرَأْيِهِ. فَعَلَيْكَ بِخَاصَّةِ أَمْرِ نَفْسِكَ. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, nay, of course, instruct the good and forbid the wrong. Until you see certain things. And what are those things? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned four things. شُحَّمْ مُطَاعًا, greed, which is obeyed. Two, وَهَوَ مُتَّبَعَ, and desire, which is followed. وَدُنْيَا مُؤْثَرَ, and the world, which is given preference. And number four, وَإِعْجَابَ كُلِّ ذِي رَأْيٍ بِرَأْيِهِ, and the self-conceit of an opinionated person and the conceit of an opinionated person with his opinion. So, such beautiful words. So Abu Thalibah al-Khushani radiyallahu anhu, being a companion of the Messenger of Allah, he sought clarification about this verse, and others approached him with the same query, and he conveyed to them the clarification of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what this hadith shows is indeed this, that yes, we should give da'wah, we should give nasiha. We are to point out the wrong and the right, encourage the good and discourage the wrong. But, as I said at the beginning, this isn't unqualified, this isn't absolute. It has its time, its condition, its context, its circumstance, its people, its audience, its subjects. It has its limits. And apart from these four things that the Prophet ﷺ said, there are other considerations which I've been mentioning. Our level of concern and compassion and love and of the other person, of the recipient of our nasiha and da'wah. Our qualification. So in this hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks of the target audience. That is the target audience qualified to receive your al-amru bil ma'ruf and nahyu anil munkar? Is it qualified? If it's not qualified, if it's not worthy, then don't. And similarly, on the flip side, what I've been mentioning is the person giving the nasiha, is the person enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, qualified or not? And if they are not qualified, if they don't fulfill those conditions and these requirements, should they be giving nasiha? So what are those four things that the Prophet ﷺ said? Inshallah, I will elaborate on this on another occasion, but quickly, if, of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bal i'tamiru bil ma'ruf." Nay, of course, instruct the good, preach virtue and piety, and forbid the wrong, until you see shuhm muta'a, greed which is followed. Now, if someone lavishly and doggedly follows their greed and their avarice, are your words of encouragement and discouragement, of piety and virtue, really going to have any effect on them? Especially when this greed and this avarice, which is doggedly obeyed and followed and pursued, the person is just pursuing greed. When this is coupled with the other traits, and what are they? وَهَوَ مُتَّبَعَ and desire which is followed. So not only is a person greedy and filled with avarice, which he pursues, the person is also a slave to their temptations and to their lower self and their lowly desires, which they follow, which they obey. وَدُنْيَا مُؤْثَرَ. And when you see the third trait, which is the world which is given preference, وَدُنْيَا مُؤْثَرَ, the world which is given preference, what this means is people give preference to this immediate life of the world as opposed to the everlasting life of the hereafter. They aren't concerned about the akhirah. All that matters to them is a here and now. And they give the dunya, they give the worldly life and its considerations preference over everything else. And number four, وَعِجَابَ كُلِّ ذِي رَأْيٍ بِرَأْيِهِ, and the conceit of an opinionated person with their opinion. That not only is a person corrupt of character, following their lowly desires, giving the worldly consideration preference over everything else, and pursuing greed and avarice. Along with these traits of corruption in character, mentally too, the person is unrelenting, is impervious to good advice and good counsel, because mentally they are full of themselves. They are arrogant, self-conceited, obsessed with their own opinion. They are conceited with their opinion. They are opinionated. There is no space left in their mind. There is no inclination or willingness in their character or heart, but in them, because of the other three aforementioned traits, but even mentally, they are closed because they are opinionated. All that matters to them is what they think. I am right, and that's it. My way or the highway, that's it. So how do you encourage such a person or discourage them from what's wrong? They want to enforce their opinion on others because they are so conceited with their own opinion. They are so opinionated. So there are so many considerations. Going back to what I was saying earlier, we need to ensure that we are qualified. Not only is the target audience qualified to receive our message of nasiha, of da'wah, and of enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, but we also need to ensure that we are qualified. We have that level of compassion and sincerity. Of course, we can never achieve that level of the Prophet of Allah alayhi wasalam, but some way there at least, to ensure that we are sincere, we are concerned and compassionate, and most importantly, we are qualified, we have that knowledge. And if we have that knowledge, the truth is we wouldn't be imposing our own opinion on others. So giving nasiha is not permission to just force our own opinion and push ahead with our thoughts. Scholars have mentioned that just from saying Allahu Akbar, Takbiratul Tahreem, just from the pronouncement of consecration in Salah, Allahu Akbar, where a person raises a hand, says Allahu Akbar, and fasten their hands. Or not even fasten, because, forgive me, where a person raises their hands and says Allahu Akbar, from that point onwards, to salam, where a person says assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah to end their salah, just from that one point of takbir, Allahu Akbar, to assalamu alaykum, ulama have mentioned that there are over 200 issues in which the ulama have differed. Over 200, just from saying Allahu Akbar to assalamu alaykum. And that's why I hesitate, I pause, I have to correct myself, that when a person says Allahu Akbar and then fastens their hands, in fact, that in itself is a point of difference. Should you fasten your hands? Yes or no, there are both opinions. It's famously known, even amongst the Sunni ulama, even amongst the ulama of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that many ulama of the Maliki school of fiqh, or of the opinion, that you don't fasten your hands at all, but you do irsal, which is, you leave your arms hanging by the side. You don't fasten them at all. And then once you fasten them, where? Below the navel, above the navel, there are both opinions. Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions both, below the navel, above the navel. And then he actually adds that وَالْأَمْرُ وَاسِعٌ عِنْدَهُمْ, that this affair, this matter of where you should place your hands in salah is wasi', broad amongst them, according to them. It doesn't matter. Of course, all of the ulama have stipulated what's better. And again, that's just another difference of opinion. When you raise your hands and say Allahu Akbar, till where? Shoulders? Till the earlobes? Higher, lower? Again, there are differences of opinion amongst the ulama. And these differences are derived from the scriptures, from the texts, and their differing interpretations, and from the different practices in the wide area of early Islam, where Muslims first learnt these issues from their elders and their teachers, beginning from the noble companions radiallahu anhum. So if from the beginning of salah till the end of salah, from Allahu Akbar to Assalamu Alaikum, the ulama have identified countless, hundreds and hundreds of different opinions, and that's just in one issue of salah. How is it possible, how is it conceivable to impose one opinion on everyone? That is not enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. Far from it. When we give da'wah, when we enjoin the good, when we forbid the wrong, there are all of these considerations. Am I sincere? Am I qualified? Do I have that level of compassion? Do I have that nasiha in me to give nasiha? A person came to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma and said to him, I want to do al-amru bil ma'roof wa nahyu anil munkar. Listen to this story. I want to do al-amru bil ma'roof wa nahyu anil munkar. I want to instruct the good and I want to forbid the wrong. So this man came to who? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma said, there are three verses of the Quran. Have you mastered them? Ahkamt. Have you secured yourself regarding these three verses? The first one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. What do you instruct people to virtue? And you forget yourselves even though you recite the book. What, do you have no sense? أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. What do you instruct people to do good? And you forget yourselves? So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said to him, have you made yourself secure in this verse? Have you mastered this verse? Have you made yourself firm in this? The man said, no. So then Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, then there's another verse of the Quran. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لم تقولون ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. O believers, why do you say that which you do not do? It is a thing of great anger with Allah that you say that which you do not do. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said to him, have you made yourself secure and firm in this verse? Have you mastered this verse? He said, no. Then Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said to him, and what of another verse of the Quran, where Allah cites Shu'ayb alayhi salam, another messenger of Allah, when he preached to his people and then added the word, وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ إِنْ أُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. Preaching to his people, Shu'ayb alayhi salam said to them, and I do not wish to oppose you in that which I forbid you from. إِنْ أُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ, I only seek to make good as much as I can. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, and my guidance and my enablement is only by Allah. Upon Him do I rely, and unto Him do I turn. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, have you made yourself firm and secure in this verse? Have you mastered this? These are just three verses of the Qur'an, and they actually are referred to by many ulama. Ibrahim al-Nakhi, a tabi'i, one of the students of the companions, radiyallahu anhum. He would say that I hesitate to tell people what to do, what not to do, because of these three verses of the Holy Qur'an. Number one, do you instruct people to good? Do you command people to virtue? Do you preach piety to the people and forget yourselves? Number two, O believers, why do you say that which you do not do? It is a thing of great anger with Allah that you say that which you do not do. And number three, the words of Shu'ayb alayhi salam, the messenger of Allah, that I do not wish to, or I do not intend to oppose you in what I forbid you myself from. I only intend to make something good and right to the best of my ability. But even my ability and my guidance and my enablement is only coming from Allah. It is on Him that I rely, it is unto Him that I turn. Allahu Akbar. Even da'wah, nasiha, and the enjoyment of good and the forbidding of wrong with such humility on the part of a messenger of Allah, alayhi wasalam. These are three verses which we should remind ourselves of before we speak. As that famous scholar sat down with his student and remained silent for a very, very long time. And then finally he spoke, and he spoke with a couplet, words of poetry. غَيْرُ تَقِيٍّ يَأْمُرُ النَّاسَ بِالتُّقَى طبيب يداوي والطبيب مريض. And the whole audience burst into tears. What did he say? غير تقي يأمر الناس بالتقى. An ungodly person commanding people to godliness. طبيب يداوي والطبيب مريض. A doctor prescribing medication for the people, while the doctor himself is ill and sick. Humility. These were scholars, saints, companions, and yet these verses of the Holy Quran were utmost in their minds before they parted their lips to give nasiha, advice, good counsel, to give da'wah, to do al-amru bil-ma'roof wal-nahi anil-munkar. These are just some of the considerations. There are others too, which inshallah I will speak on subsequently. What are some of the other considerations? I'll expand on the point of, do I have the knowledge? Do I have that understanding? What are the right times, the right circumstances? Does every issue need to be addressed that we think should be addressed? Even though we may believe it to be right, and indeed it may be haqq, but we need to take into consideration timing, circumstances, audiences, context. There's a lot more to say, and inshallah I will expand on this in a subsequent talk. May Allah enable us to gain the correct understanding of the words of Allah and the words of His noble messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah make us wise and intelligent and sincere, even in our preaching, our nasiha, our sharing advice. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.